Thank you for being here. We are in Framework. We're in chapter 56 called Christology, the study of Christ. And this is about the study of the person of Christ, which, again, is not just the study of Jesus, the historical man, but the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one who is part of the Trinity. And if we go back to the beginning of this section, we go back to the study of theology. Let's go back, say, page 426, just have a reference there. We are talking about, there's a diagram of the Trinity where you've got the Godhead. God is, the title God is in the center. And then you've got the three heads or the three parts of the Trinity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are three separate persons, three separate personalities. They all are unified in the sense that they are all God in the Godhead. They all have all the attributes of God. We studied that here. They are not, in a sense, separate as they are, you know, three gods. This is what a lot of the other religions would accuse Christians of, if it be the Jews or the Muslims, that we've got three gods. It's still one God, but there's three persons in the God, that they can talk to each other. They've got their own will, but yet they're all unified. And as you see right there, the great diagram there, again, it's I drew this one, but it's a typical historical drawing, is the Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. But the Son is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. They're all three. And so they can have conversations, they can be submitted to each other, they can work together, and they can all have different roles of manifesting the Godhead in history. And again, underneath there are three examples of false views of the Trinity. There, for example, the last one, tritheism, there are three separate gods. That would not be it. Or the monolistic, the unorthodox belief that the one God exists in three different modes. In the Old Testament, he was the Father. In the Gospels, he was the Son. And now in our age, the church age, he's the Holy Spirit. Just has three different manifestations. And it's the same God, or the same person, just in different forms. Or the Unitarianism is the Father is the Creator. The Son is a created being. And that's going to get into what we're talking about right here, right away. And the Holy Spirit is impersonal. It's more like a force. So God, the Father would be the Creator. This is a false view, Unitarianism. Is the Creator, and He created the Son to represent Him on the earth. And then the power of God is known as the Holy Spirit. It's like just like an electronic shock. It's the electricity of the Creator. And that is not the correct view. All three of these are, the Holy Spirit is a person, has an opinion, has a will, and is God, the attributes of God, and the Son is also God, and none of them are created. So anyway, with that being said, we go back to page 468, chapter 56 in Christology, and we begin right away talking about the pre-incarnate state of the Son, or the Christ, the Messiah. And I've got several verses, and tonight we're going to read a lot of verses, just kind of get an Old Testament picture and into the New Testament, about the Son, who is eternally in existence. And one of my favorite ones is right here in Isaiah 9:6, when it talks about a child is born and a son is given, and he will be known as El Gibor, or Mighty God, or the word El means God, God, and Gibor in the Hebrew means hero. He'll be known as, our Bible's translated, Almighty God. But if you go straight with this, it's God the hero. In other words, this second member of the Trinity, the Son, who's is existed, you know, in eternity past, has never been created, is going to take on flesh and become a man, and in a sense, be a hero. It's like one of the Greek gods, you know, of the ancient mythology, one of the heroes of the ancient world. This God is going to take on flesh and be a human hero, because he is God in the flesh. And again, not mixing that in with Greek mythology, but the idea that this Christ, the eternal member of the Trinity, that is the Son, is going to take on flesh and enter humanity with us, and he's going to be God in the flesh and is going to do amazing things. And that is, again, Jesus is Yahweh. And the more you study this, the more you begin to realize how mighty, how awesome it is to have Jesus Christ. and he can't just be reduced to our modern concept in the Western world of this little Jesus who's loving and kind and forgiving, and he's an example for all of us. This is the eternal God in a pre-incarnate state. And so we begin in chapter 40 of Psalm, in chapter 40 of Psalm, verse 7. And this verse is also quoted in the New Testament. In verse 6 of chapter 40, I'll begin. It says, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced." Or, again, it's the pledge of a servant. "Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart." And this is quoted later on about Christ when he came into the world, is God did not desire the sacrifice and offerings. All the sacrifices and offerings that he prescribed in the law of Moses were pointing towards something that was going to come in the future, a fulfillment. It was identifying sin. It was identifying the means of forgiveness. It was covering the sins, but it did nothing except as a teaching tool. And you couldn't bring enough offerings. That's why they had to do it like the book of Hebrews talks about. They had to do it year after year because it was just a teaching tool. But ultimately, one that was written about here, it says again in verse 7, "Then I says, here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll." And the scroll, again, what scroll is being referred to here? It could be, you know, the book is written about him. Is it talking about the law of Moses where it was written about him in the scroll and all the sacrifices were pointing towards him? Or is it some book in heaven, some scroll that is recording? And the book of Daniel refers to the books that are in heaven. Revelation refers